What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build Ford Top Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning, a feel-good Friday. Boomer is out again today. He'll be back on Monday. That means Jerry is with us again. Good morning, Jerry.
Gee, what is up? What's going on, man?
I had a wonderful day yesterday, Jerry. It was a really great spring day, even though it was still freezing and cold. I went to the range. I hit some balls, and I went over to the Portly Villager, paid my pool thing together, and then watched the Masters for a couple hours, and then went home, had dinner with the family, watched some more Masters.
There you go.
Went to sleep, woke up. And here we are in this feel-good Friday. I feel tremendous. I'm ready to go. And not a lot happened in sports outside of the Masters, and we'll get to more of that later as the Knicks. This is another one of these games. I'm not taking anything out of this game. I mean, this is not their team. They rested a bunch of guys. We understand the back-to-back. I know they blew a lead, and I know it's a team that they're going to probably see in the first round. I don't care. I'm not taking anything out of that basketball game when the full complement of players are not there and they're resting. And, of course, no baseball yesterday as we get ready for a couple of series over the weekend. So I'm driving in. I'm thinking about Sam Rosen and the stuff we talked about yesterday and how this season, this Rangers season, is a mess for him, even though they end up not getting eliminated by the Islanders last night and somehow scored 9 goals at 9-2 when they're on the life support here. But they're done, and he's not going to go to the playoffs. It's going to be a miracle if they make it to the playoffs. So I was thinking about all the guys that have come through here currently doing play-by-play. As we said goodbye to John Sterling last year, we're saying goodbye to Sam Rosen this year. And I there's so many great New York play-by-play guys that have come through and are still doing it. So I was trying to rank them in my head. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. Not a lot going on. I'm doing a list today, goddammit. I'm going to go straight to Sports Talk Radio list.
All right.
We're going to do a list. We don't do a lot of lists around here, and I'm doing a freaking list. So I went to you before the show, and I asked all these guys. I said, give me your top 5 New York play-by-play guys of your lifetime. Now, we're just doing play-by-play. So the listeners that are out there, you know, you want to say, like, John Davidson, you want to say Keith Hernandez, we're not doing it. We're doing play-by-play, mm-hmm. guys who call the games. So I'm going to give you mine first, all
okay,
right?
That's good. I didn't know we were doing this right out the gate, so mine's outside, but I can...
You want to go get it?
No, I'm fine. I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
You want to go get it?
I'm good.
Did you remember it correctly?
Well, yeah, I mean, yes. Yes. I
was going to go get it.
I thought we were... No, because I have to print it. I still thought there were going to be some parameters to it, but now I see what it is. We're good.
Oh,
I'm
you
good.
Got it.
Yeah, I'm
all
good.
Right, all right,
good.
Right. All right, here we go. My 5 and 4 are two guys, teams I don't root for, but the reason why they're on my list is because when these guys don't call these games,
mm-hmm.
for these teams, it doesn't sound right.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Number 5, Sam Rosen.
Okay.
And I'm not a Ranger fan, but when he's gone and someone else is going to be doing these games full time, it's not going to sound right. And then just his voice and the power play goal and everything, he's got to be there. And number four, the last guy that we would said goodbye to from a career standpoint, John Sterling.
Sure.
I mean, no disrespect to anybody else. When John's doing a game, sounds different. When those younger guys were doing it during the season, John comes back, just his voice and everything. Yep. And I understand.
Takes some getting used to. You're right.
I know his eyesight was going there towards the end, whatever. It's just a different experience listening to him do the game. Number three, Mike Breen.
Mm-hmm.
I love him calling a basketball game, calling Knicks games. Obviously, he's one of the best in the business because he's doing the NBA finals. Just so smooth, so good. Just can't say enough good things about Mike Breen. Number two, Howie Rose.
Okay.
Howie Rose. Now, I think Gary Cohen's one of the best in the game as well, but there's a difference now doing TV for as long as Gary's been doing it and Howie's been doing radio. And baseball on the radio is one of those things. You have to be the most skillful play-by-play guy to be able to do baseball on the radio. And how he's doing it and his calls last year were tremendous during the playoffs. And, of course, he called every game going through the playoffs where SNY is off the air. So it's got to be Howie. And then number one, I think, is just, it's an obvious one. Has to be. I was lucky enough to share a moment with this man in Green Bay with Boomer Esiason, and that is none other than Marv Albert, who is, I mean, I don't know how that doesn't make everybody's list, but number one is Marv for obvious reasons.
Well, but how much did you listen to him on the radio?
I didn't say I listened to him on the radio.
All right.
I listened to him on TV.
No, this wasn't a radio list. Just New York play-by-play
guys. New York play-by-play.
Okay.
Yeah, boy, what poo-poo in your list, right?
Why are you poo-pooing Marv?
Well, for me, it's
Marv called Knicks game.
It's more radio to me. You know, that's the real...
Okay.
Well, that's why everybody's list is everybody's list.
And it's different.
Right. I mean, you know, Breen doing TV is Breen doing TV.
Correct.
You know?
All right, so I will tell you for me, and I actually, and I didn't realize it was just New York, so I actually had Summerall and Madden as a combination on the list. So they're off the list.
I did tell you New York. I must have not.
Yeah, no, my bad. So they're off the list. All and right. I also took it into effect when you say lifetime. So I'll give you 1-2 for different reasons. And this goes back to when I was a kid. The soundtrack of my house growing up from the time I was probably 10 years old when he started is Sam Rosen. Like, it is, when I think back to my childhood, I've told you this before, like my dad was a huge Rangers fan, and the Rangers were on TV in our house every single night they were on. And so I feel like I grew up listening to Sam Rosen, which now 40 years later, I'm 51 and he's, you know, heading to retirement. It's weird, it's sad, but, you know, I can't think of my childhood in sports without thinking of Sam Rosen. So he actually is number one, which sounds
crazy.
Wow. Yeah, and I know... I don't want to say there are better because I think he's the best at what he does. I know Devil fans will probably get mad at me. What about Mike Emmerich? Yeah, yes, Doc Emmerich was phenomenal. There's no doubt. But for me as a kid, hearing the voice of Sam Rosen and to hear him be as good as he is now as he was then, he's actually 1-2 for different reasons because I actually got into this business, A, because of Sam Rosen, and B, because of Bob Murphy. Murphy for me was... the sound of the Mets in the summer because they'd be on the radio and we'd be outside barbecuing or doing whatever. And when I started to think I wanted to do sports radio, more so play-by-play as a kid, it was listening to Bob Murphy. I always thought, it's so funny, I was telling my son the other day, I grew up thinking, once I heard Bob Murphy do baseball, I grew up thinking that I would call, and Sam Rosen, for a living, I wanted to call hockey and baseball games.
Wow. And you are doing basketball.
I do basketball and football, which is kind of funny. But yeah, so those for me are 1-2. And for different reasons, obviously. Marv is on the list. Has to be. And then after that, I find it very difficult to come up with 4 and 5 because if I say Breen, I got Ian. And to me, they're 1 and they're 1A. And I can't separate the
two. Hey,
man,
I had to make some difficult decisions. You got to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
You got, so got Howie, you got Gary.
I know, but I gave you the reason why I went with Howie over Gary.
So here's what I'm going to say now to that. I'm going to go back to, we said the lifetime. This might sound crazy, but Kiner and McCarver.
Okay, so
the same thing with Bob Murphy, like when they were on Sports Channel, that's who I was watching, or PIX.
So your list is, Jerry, your list is one Sam.
Yeah.
Your list is
Bob Murphy, two.
Two Bob Murphy, three Marv, four.
I'm going to go with the booth of Kiner and McCarver.
So that's 4 or 5.
No, because to me they're packaged. They all are, right, because all right. They split the games. All it was right, the
I'll
sound.
Allow, I'll allow it. Kiner McCarver, and then you got to give me a fifth.
I
got
to give you a fifth.
You got to give me a fifth.
Brad Sham. No.
Emmanuel Babari.
Does a nice kid doesn't make the list? Not yet. Yeah. Can I say Ian and Breen?
You got to pick one.
Pick one.
Yeah,
that's killer. We have such good announcers in this town. We really have had great announcers in this town. I mentioned Kenny Albert, Bob Schusen, Bob Papa, Carino. I'm going to go Ian.
Okay, Ian number 5.
I'll go Ian.
All right. So that list.
Now I bump him for Noah.
yes. All right. A couple of things there, because there's guys, great names there that I don't have on my list. And this is like a personal thing.
For different
thing.
Reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, for different reasons. Yeah. So one, I didn't listen to a ton of Bob Murphy because I was either watching the Mets on TV,
sure. Yep.
Or I was at the games and I wasn't listening to the radio while mm-hmm. I was at the games. Where I really appreciated the radio play-by-play is when I started working here.
Understood.
And when I started working here and I would do the Mets games yeah. when we had the Mets back then, I would listen to those guys all the time. So it's not, I don't think that Bob Murphy deserves to be on the list. For me personally, mm-hmm. in my lifetime, I didn't listen to him yeah. as much as I listened to the other guys. And then Doc Emrick, who is the best.
Amazing.
There we go. Look, Tim and Ralph are great.
Yeah, see that?
I want to be on Kiner's Corner in 2002. Little Gio
right
there.
That's cool.
Back in a Mets game in a full uniform as a child.
Yeah.
So then.
That looks like they're little rascals.
Yeah, I know. Because it was in black and white.
I know. That's crazy.
And then Doc Emrick, who is the best hockey play-by-play guy there ever was. But that's not fair. I was thinner than that. They put Spanky next to me. That's not fair. You guys in there.
He does, though. That photo yeah. of you looks like it's 1938.
I know. I agree.
It's grainy. Yeah. It's black and white. Right. It's funny.
Stephen Waldron getting a shot in there before he leaves at 7 o'clock today.
And they had that ready, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know.
That's
which,
great.
Which is incredible. And then, Doc, I just... For me, Doc Emrick was the national hockey guy. He called the finals, and I just, you know, growing up on Long Island, not like listening to or watching a ton of Devils games. I did when I was younger because I was so into it, but it was just like the Rangers, Islanders, Devils stuff. But he's the greatest there is. But for me, you know, I associate him more with the Pittsburgh Pirates than I do just about anything, because he was the biggest Pirates fan and he would go to all the games.
I didn't know that.
He used to show up at Pittsburgh all the time. So he, but that's a good list. It's a great list.
It's a different list, and like I say, it sucks that for all these years we haven't been able to get Sam on.
Yeah.
Whether it's been to talk about the NFL, because he did it for Fox, I think, for years and years mm-hmm. and years. All the national stuff he did with the NHL, but most importantly with the Rangers. And I've tried, I think, 3 or 4 times the last couple of years. And maybe when he retires, I will be. Maybe this summer when you guys are off, I'll be able to love to have him come in. I think he lives in the city. That would be like a
bucket list thing for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about a bucket list thing, but that
full
would be
circle
something
moment?
To kind of check the box. Like,
yeah.
You know what? That's really cool to get him in, because I think of that 10-year-old that used to hear him in the house every night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think so.
All right.
Another guy I thought of was Jim Carvalhas.
Yeah.
The Knicks play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
Now it's going back
before my time, but I know how.
He had a cool voice.
You know, loved him was Rich Ackerman. Rich Ackerman,
I believe it, sure.
Loved him. Used to talk about him all the time. All right, Eddie, let's go. Now you have different criteria. You think it has to be radio? That's fine. Everybody's list is their list. So let's hear what you got.
All right, I'm gonna go with Jim Carvalhas.
Interesting.
He just Jerry just mentioned.
And you're going 5-1, right?
Yes. Correct. All right. And then I'm going to go with Gary Cohen.
All right, number 4. Very good.
Again, more based on the years he did on the radio.
Gotcha.
And then I'm going to go with Howie.
Number 3. All right.
Both Rangers and Mets. And then, of course, John Sterling.
Okay, number 2.
And Murph.
All right.
For me, again, this is very personal, what I grew up with.
Gotcha.
And for me, play-by-play on the radio is just... cut above.
And that's why Marv's not on your list.
Because I was too young to experience him on the radio.
Okay. But on TV, you did listen to Marv call games on television.
Of course.
Yeah, but just different for you. All right, that's fine. I'm not gonna sit here and slam your list. Now, Al Dukes. Al Dukes is last here. We'll get CeeLo's in a little bit. Al, give me your top five.
I'll go John Sterling.
Number five.
Marv Albert.
Number four.
Howie Rose.
Number three.
Gary Cohen.
Number two.
Tim McCarver.
Wow. All right. You are the only one, Al, that put Gary over Howie in this group.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was because for me, I'd never listened to Howie on the radio.
Yeah.
And I started more watching the Gary, Keith, and Ron show.
Right. Yeah, I could totally understand that. Now, both those guys, when they were on the radio, it was 1 and 1A.
Absolutely.
It was like you couldn't pick.
Yeah.
But I just think the reason for me now I have to go Howie is just because he's still on the radio.
Oh, he's great.
He's had all these different partners.
Yep.
I mean, he's just, during the playoffs, the home run calls are essential to listen to.
I also don't like that he doesn't do the games, the whole games. I mean, what are we doing? So many times the essential call is not Howie Rose. He's sitting in the booth and not doing the call.
What is interesting, though, I think that that's the norm. John was the outlier that did all nine innings.
That is true. So most places, and I don't know, but most places have the two play-by-play guys. And they switch the innings because it's 162 games. They do as many games as they can. But like, yeah, when it was Howie and Gary, you know, they split the innings, but you would never have any drop-off. You know, it's just hard for a guy like Keith Redd. He's not going to sound like Howie at this age, and maybe when he gets to Howie's age, he'll sound as good as Howie, but you just notice the drop-off now more.
Well, it's the story. It's for me, and we've talked about this before, I think, in the podcast. Like, when you're doing baseball on the radio, and this is why I actually like listening to it when I am home or, you know, outside or driving, it's the storytelling. Howie tells just great stories because he's had a lifetime in the business and around baseball that the younger guys don't have yet. And it takes time. So if you're going to put, again, no disrespect to Emmanuel, who...
You can sit on my face.
Okay, thank you. Nuts and bolts wise, very good.
Yeah.
He's, what, 24 years old?
Right,
so how can he tell stories from 1982 when he wasn't alive, whereas Howie's got stories going back to Seaver and through the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And it's just, it's almost like you're listening to a talk show and then he's giving you the play-by-play in between.
Which is also perfect for the baseball radio
audience. Absolutely, 100%.
That's what they want.
No doubt.
Because they're older, they love the sport, they love the stories about it. So, something a little different this morning, throwing that out there, and then just some homage to Sam Rosen and all the great play-by-play guys that have come through here. We'll get CeeLo's coming up in a couple of minutes, and we'll get his update as well. It's Boomer and Geo on a feel-good Friday.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Thought I had something else queued up, Jerry.
Nah, this is fine. Never heard it before, but it's kind of nice.
Post Malone country record.
Yeah.
This is Post Malone.
Okay. Great album.
What'd you think you had queued up?
Bum, bum, bum,
Mike's
bum.
Off.
All right.
Your mic was off.
Yeah, your mic was off. I don't know if you were that was meant to be on the air
it
or
wasn't,
not.
But oh, okay. I just asked him, what did he mean to queue up? I was curious.
I thought I had the Boomer and Geo playlist up, and I did not. I had a playlist up to check to see if there were any new songs I could use.
Okay.
And then I quickly tried to find the Boomer and Geo playlist and hit the Post Malone album I have saved.
Any new songs? Are there any new songs out there? Any good new songs?
Well, that's the thing. See, I look at the release radar every Friday. Comes out for the songs like that I play. And there's like a Green Day song. And there's a new Spin Doctors song.
Oh,
on
what?
The
list.
Yeah,
really?
That's what I wanted to see. Like,
oh,
what's
I got to check that
about?
Out.
Man, he better be doing that same stuff he used to do in the 90s.
Yeah.
That was, I think, the first CD I ever purchased with my own money. Was the,
really?
Yeah. With the Two Princes song on there.
If you...
And Pocket Full of Kryptonite.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That was good stuff, man.
Yeah.
That was good stuff. All right, CeeLo, what is going... Well, first, I'm sorry. I asked you for your top five New York play-by-play guys.
Some of it, I mean, at this point, is repetitive, obviously.
Not necessarily. You know? I mean, Eddie came with a crazy list, different list.
I didn't hear Eddie's because I was...
And so did Jerry. Jerry had a different list, too.
I mean, listen, a couple of things, guys, that for me were more national, but at... a certain point in time did New York stuff. You guys mentioned Marv Albert, of course, but for me, I grew up with him calling national NBA games. Plus, you got to remember, I lived in Northern Virginia in a D.C. suburb from age 4 to 11. So watching New York sports for me at the time was pretty much on a national level, which is why I told you I loved Gary Thorne.
Okay.
Of course, did Mets games here in New York, but watching the NHL on ESPN, that was big back then as well. Doc Emrick, same thing. Yes, Devils, but I think more national. So my top five, I got Ian at number five, just... all the respect in the world for him, even though I'm not a Net fan. Howie, number four, not a Met fan, but respect again. Of course, the Ranger calls on the radio in 94.
Yep.
Mike Breen, I mean, don't need to say anything else. Again, I wouldn't fashion myself a big Knick fan, but big game in New York, Knicks. I'm thinking Mike Breen. Sam Rosen, number two.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Wow, I thought it was a lot.
I feel bad about that. Here's why. When the Rangers won the Cup in 94, again, I'm living out of state, so I watched nationally. Back then, you did have the MSG broadcast, which I've heard all these years later. I've got the DVD collection. But for me, I lived that experience through Gary Thorne and Bill Clement on ESPN. Number one, John Sterling, because, I mean, World Series after World Series after World Series. And really, my first introduction to the fan living down in Virginia, my dad had a coworker who put together a mixtape of everything that was going on here at the Fan leading up to the Yankees and Braves 96 World Series. All the Sterling calls from that playoff run mixed in and spliced with a bunch of other New York moments in throughout the course of New York sports history. So John Sterling being sort of the voice of Yankees baseball, even though he wasn't on the Fan at the time, that was later on.
Yeah.
That would be number one for me.
That is the first time I've ever heard someone say that someone gave me a mixtape and it wasn't some sort of luring in of somebody to date or bang.
We hope not.
We listened to that in the car over and over and over again.
While holding hands.
That fall, my dad and I, and it had crack committee stuff with Mike and Dog, had talk show stuff, Sterling highlights, Ranger highlights,
wow.
Giant highlights. It was just like, I don't know who put it together here back in 96, all this stuff that was airing on The Fan. But it was really cool that this guy thought of us and put it together and sent it down to us there in Virginia.
Very good, so CeeLo. Like the list.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah.
What's happening in sports?
All right, let me start with the Knicks. We'll take care of that first, and then we'll have some fun with the Masters from yesterday. So the Knicks without OG Hart and Mitchell Robinson last night, front end of a back-to-back. So they got the Cavaliers tonight at the Garden. The Pistons, however, went full throttle in Detroit.
Pistons have scored 7 straight points. Make it 9. Cunningham again.
And there's another guy, of course, and I know Jerry mentioned him, Kenny Albert, MSG. I mean, done everything under the sun, locally and nationally, obviously. So Detroit ended up ending the game with an alley-oop dunk for a 115-106 victory. The game a little feisty at times, especially on the Pistons side. Maybe a little preview of a potential playoff series if the Knicks are able to secure
gotta
the
like
three
seed. Gotta like P.J. Tucker, though.
Yeah,
I mean, at
that's
least
what
he's
they brought him in
back.
For, right? Because
yeah.
Schroeder stands over Brunson after a foul, and then a short time later, Tucker did the same thing back
with
to
a hard
Schroeder.
Foul too.
Yep, which was kind of cool. That's what he's there to do. He's the enforcer for them, right? Karl Anthony Towns, 25 points, 10 rebounds, but knows they weren't quite able to match what the Pistons were bringing to the table on this particular night.
That's Detroit basketball. They play physical basketball, and they upped their physicality in the second half. You know, just didn't do enough to win the game, and you know, include myself. So, you know, take responsibility and move on to the next one and get ready for that one.
I would say, and we talked about this a lot yesterday in terms of the Knicks, and I really do believe they have every chance to go further than a lot of people think. But the one thing that would concern me, because I haven't watched the Pistons all that much this year at all, seeing how physical they do play, I think they'll beat the Pistons, but I wonder what type of a toll it takes on their body if it turns out to be, even if it's 5 games, but a physical, grueling 5 or 6 games, all of a sudden, then you go into that series against Boston, and you assume Boston probably wins a first-round series in 4. You know, how much more difficult will it be physically for the Knicks going forward? Because it certainly looks like that's who they're playing in the first round.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're coming off playoffs last year, too. Each one of their starting 5 went down every single.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's in the back of all of our heads.
Yep. Now, post-game on MSG, Wally Szczerbiak getting after the Knicks a little bit.
Come on. No way.
A little bit. And this is the first part of it. I'll play a couple throughout the course of the morning. So he acknowledged, of course, they had key guys missing, including one in particular that he mentions off the top, but maybe something to keep an eye on here.
Josh Hart would not have let that go out there. You know, there are a lot of guys, there are a couple guys on the Knicks that look like they're kind of like, can we just get to the playoffs? And the Pistons did not play that way. The Pistons are a young team. They're a hungry team. They're gaining confidence. And the Knicks gave this Pistons team even more confidence if they happen to see him, which they look like they're going to see him in the first round.
Now, the Knicks are only a game up on the Pacers. Well, at least he's giving you an opinion there.
Yeah, no, that was pretty good.
You know?
That was
great. Boring. Knicks only a game up on the Pacers for the 3 seed in the East.
And I really, but that point there is something that I think also applies to the fan base. And the Knicks fan has not had a team that has been bored by the regular season in a very, very long time.
I agree. Yeah. I feel like this whole season, the Knicks fan hasn't enjoyed much because they're just waiting to get to next week.
And it hasn't been like that because, like, during the resurgence, it was like, oh, man, this is great. Yep. You know, can we get a 3 seed? Can we get to 50 wins? This is all brand new. And it's like, all right, this team is good. We don't have to worry about making the playoffs. And it's just, you know, the team becomes bored by it, too. It happens to all the really good teams that at some point during a regular season, they just seem bored by it. And now when you get to this close to the end of the season, I don't blame them. Just don't give me that type of effort in the playoffs.
That's all you're asking for. Meantime, Nets blown out by the Hawks in Brooklyn, 133-109. They turn around and visit the Timberwolves tonight. Coverage at 8:50 on WFAN-FM. At that point, Yankees-Giants will switch over to the AM dial after starting on Bolt Signals. Plus, you got the free Odyssey app as well. Marcus Stroman opposed by Robbie Ray. Clark Schmidt, 4 scoreless innings and another rehab start for Somerset last night. So he is in good shape, looking like he'll make his return to the Yankee rotation in short order. Also, Adam Ottavino elected free agency in lieu of an outright assignment to the minors. So that reunion with the Yankees has come and gone, at least for now. The Mets will visit the Athletics out in Sacramento late tonight. Griffin Canning and former Yankee J.P. Sears in a 10:05 start on Odyssey Mets Radio. Let's go to Augusta National now. Justin Rose atop the leaderboard, as he's done before. He's been a good first and second round guy at the Masters. So he's at 7 under par, which is good for a 3-shot lead over your boy Corey Connors.
Yep.
Lucas Oberg. Mm-hmm. Do you like Oberg or Oberg?
Lucas. It's
I'm sorry, Ludwig.
It's Oberg,
right?
Yeah, it is. Oh,
yeah.
Yep.
There's been some inconsistency with that.
Well, yeah. But it's he. I've heard him pronounce it, and it is O.
Oberg.
Yeah.
And of course, Scottie Scheffler.
Yep.
With another bogey-free 68, which is impressive because when you consider the guys
that that putt on 16 is stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, the struggles again. There's Rory in the fairway on 15 at 4 under par. And he comes in at even.
Yeah, I mean, just as brutal as it gets. I mean, two double bogeys to finish out with four
this
holes
is the
to play.
One that is just a killer.
Now, that chip from off the backside, he flew the approach shot, so fine. Mm-hmm. That's,
most did.
Right? But, I mean, that landed, what, three paces on the green?
And this is why I said to you yesterday, I don't know. I would not have any idea how to play this golf course.
Put a lot of spin on that ball, which he normally can do, but he did not there.
If you went... I'm trying to think. If you went double bogey on every single hole, you're shooting 108.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a quadruple bogey on every hole is out of the question. I really don't. I think that's how difficult it would be for the amateur golfer if you played the conditions they're playing in.
Yeah. I mean, it's so... I've been fortunate enough to play at some places that have insane greens that Boomer has brought me to, and you're right. There are times where you're like, I don't know how you
Correct.
Can get the ball.
And you just pick the damn thing up and you go to the next tee.
In the hole.
Yep.
Yeah, so if you're telling me that we have to get ball in hole every time.
I don't think 140 is out of the question. I don't.
Like playing golf on ice.
Yeah, it's not easy, but it was easy for some of the guys there yesterday. But Rory, I mean, with all the pressure on him, the way he was playing, coming in to be 4 under right there, tied with Scotty, tied with Ludwig, and then to just poop himself there with double bogeys.
And in prime position on 15 to go further under par.
So he's got to come out and get a really good front nine to feel good about himself, get a couple under, and get it back and forget about it. I'm not giving up on him to win the tournament. I still think it's possible. And he gets hot late a lot of the time, but that was just as discouraging as it gets.
I have a physical question for you guys.
Yeah.
Golf-related, but physical. We've all seen Bryson DeChambeau swing. He swings out of his shoes. Okay. Did you see him on the range with Vijay watching
him? I was going to bring...
That was from
last year.
That was I don't care if it's from 10 years ago. Yeah. We saw, right?
That was when he was at like full bolt.
How the hell does he not snap his spine in half?
I don't know, but the new feature on the app this year is you can track the range sessions, and someone put a thing to... He hit like 400 balls on the range the other day, and on like swing 290 with his driver, they were talking about how he was just as accurate with the driver.
Well, I don't care
300
about
balls, hold on. As someone with an 8-iron.
I don't care about the accuracy. Okay, I'm talking physically, how he doesn't snap his back in half.
He's a young guy who's in shape, man.
Come on, man.
You know?
I mean, the torque and the spin and the rotation is ridiculous.
He's the mad scientist. He's got all the math and stuff figured out with this. He had a good, 3-under, I think, for him yesterday, so he's kind of right there.
Yep.
Now, you talked about Rory not being out of it, of course, but recent trends, 18 of the last 19 winners were within 4 shots of the lead. After the US, that means three under and up. It's a small list. Justin Rose, Scheffler, Oberg, your guy Corey Connors, DeChambeau, and Tyrrell Hatton, who once told us he hated Augusta National.
Yeah, he hates everything.
All right, a couple of things here. Rory declined media requests following round one. That happens sometimes, especially he was late early, so he's going out. I don't know what time today, but on the earlier side. I want to get to Gary Player. Who we talked about yesterday, 89 years old, part of the ceremonial opening tee shots yesterday. So he does the press conference afterwards. And it was a little bit of a interesting introduction to this particular question, relating it back to Tiger Woods and his first Masters win in 97, talking about Player now at his age and keeping himself in great shape.
In 1997, when Tiger Woods won the Masters, he revealed that he famously ate at Arby's every single night. I was wondering when the last time you had any fast food was.
Well, you don't reach 90 as I do if you eat a bunch of crap, I can tell you that. But that's your choice. You know, everybody has a choice. I want to live to 100 because I love people, I love golf.
All right, so that's a good goal.
And he said he loves life.
Nice things, right?
Yep.
So here he's talking about staying young. Keep in mind he's got Tom Watson by his side, who he'll reference here in a second.
Love life. I've got a young girlfriend who changed my life. What? How about that at 90, finding a girlfriend? Tom's not as old as me, but he's also found a new one. And and I'll tell you what, guys, you all, one of you or your wife are going to die. One of you going to die. One of the spouses is
going to
die.
All right, so now we're starting to feel like maybe we're going down Jerry's road here, talking about death and everything, and it sounded negative, and one day you're gone. But he took a little bit of a different approach here. It was a little bit more optimistic and positive as he brought it full circle.
And it's not the end of life. And so many people, that does happen, and they get so disheartened that they don't think they should continue life. The greatest gift bestowed upon a man or woman is life. And so my ambition is to reach 100. So I went to India and I met a gerontologist, and he gave me 11 things to work on, which I adhere to. And so I might drop dead tomorrow, but I'm giving it a try.
So the moral of the story is, when your wife dies, you go and bang a young girl.
Pretty much, yeah.
And vice versa.
Pretty much what he's
got. If your husband's dead, go find another guy.
Holy cow.
He's pretty entertaining,
he really
man.
Is. He is a blast.
All right, so you got that on one hand, and then on the other hand, you got the U.S. amateur, who I believe is, what, 21? And I'm not quite sure on the pronunciation.
Can I ask you a question? Why is everybody so upset that he was wearing the Sun Devil's hat? And it's a popular style now upside down.
I guess, look, it's Augusta. I'm just saying, if you're asking for the answer, they've told Jason Day to tone it down. Like, they're a little particular.
No, I get that.
This guy's coach from college went to see him on the range the other day. He had shorts on. They you know,
they
removed
didn't like
him.
That.
Right, exactly. So now he's playing with Scotty and JT. And as they get in the Amen Corner area, nature called. And he would explain, this is Jose. I don't know if it's Lewis or Louis Ballester. And here he was with the media after his round.
I completely forgot that we had those restrooms on the left of the tee box.
Okay.
13th tee. Yes, correct. And then I'm like, I really need to pee. Didn't really know where to go. And since JT had an issue around the green, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sneak here in the river. Probably the people would not see me that much. And then they caught for me. Probably one of the clubs that I really got today, like, real loud, so that was kind of funny.
Now, he calls it the river, which is kind of a faux pas as well.
Of course.
Ray's Creek is kind of a big deal there.
Please pee
National.
Here.
Took a leak in Ray's Creek.
He says been disqualified.
Right, they've got him under the clubhouse right now in jail.
I mean, now, he kind of doubled down a little bit, too, here at the end.
I'm just picturing one of these guys, you know, these old Masters guys. Is right. Like, hey, come here, son. Did you just piss in Rice Creek?
Was that wrong?
People that saw him kind of, you know, cheered for him a little bit. And I guess he didn't really think much of it or feel all that bad about it.
Yeah, they saw me. They saw me. I mean, it was not embarrassing at all for me. So if I had to do it again, I would do it again.
Might want to stay away from that.
Yeah, sure. But,
right off Hogan's Bridge today.
Yeah, right.
I think a dump off Hogan's Bridge. Prop himself up and just duped one.
Oh, man. It was an interesting day. And then there's Nick Dunlap. And that was the guy, you know, Pat Boyle came in here looking to get a little bet advice from you guys yesterday on who to bet for making the cut.
Yeah.
Someone who was even money or longer odds. So he asked me the same question out in the newsroom. I was like, a lot of older guys on that list. Probably, you know, they're just there to play a couple rounds and then go home. Nick Dunlap, young guy, talent, won a couple times on Twitter. It's worth a shot. Yeah, he shot 90.
Yeah, 90.
18 over par.
Yeah, poor guy.
11 shots worse than anyone else on the golf course without a single three putt, which is almost hard to believe.
And he is questioning everything about his life and career right now. I can guarantee you that.
Watch him come out and shoot like 68 today. Would
probably.
That be cool?
No, probably.
That
be I'll awesome. Be rooting for him. All right, CeeLo, we'll see you next
Rangers
hour.
Rangers beat the Islanders 9-2.
Of course.
Nobody cares.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The people who know me well know that I'm a very observant person. I pay attention to a lot of things. You know, sometimes I'll get topics just out of what I'm seeing Boomer look at and how he's acting about a certain thing, and then I ask him about it if I think that it's interesting and whatever it may be. So I got to do the same thing to you right now.
Okay.
So I come back in the studio, told Al a story about something. I walk back in and I take a look, and you're perusing Arizona real estate. And I'm thinking, man, I like every day I walk in here, I'm feeling more and more alone. You got, you know, Boomer, he's gone. Eddie's retiring in a year. Al's been narrowing down what state he's going to retire to. And then I walk in here. Now you're going to Arizona?
I was checking out Chandler and Gilbert, Arizona. Yes, I was.
I mean, a second home or like a first home?
I think I've been very upfront on the podcast with Al saying, you know, in this day and age of media, you never know when it's going to be your last day, and you get relieved of your duties. Yeah. So I'm always looking ahead to what would be next. Mm-hmm. And I've got a son who, my son Joseph, turns 15 today, which is crazy. So happy birthday to him.
Wow. He's up yet, but yes, that's 15?
He is 15. 6 foot happy. Tall and 15, yes.
Wow, happy birthday,
when that happened,
Joseph.
I have no idea. Yeah. And so he loves golf, and I think when he's thinking about what he's going to do for a living, I think his path might be try and become like a teaching pro.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, a club pro, something like that. So that could be in the distant future. So I always look around different places that we could end up.
And
I was by myself, and I just was passing the time.
Yeah. I mean, it just got me a little bit concerned. I didn't know.
I don't plan on going anywhere.
And I looked up, and I was like, I wanted to see if the Suns play-by-play guy was retiring or something. I looked that up to see.
No, that ship sailed. That happened a few years ago, actually.
Oh, that's right. It did. We talked about it.
Yeah. Yeah, Boomer. I remember Boomer saying, "You want to interview, maybe?"
Yeah,
like, well, are you pushing me out, sir?
You know what's tough, though. I mean, you can't take Matthew out of school at 15 with all his buddies. Now you got to finish that out, right?
Right. Well, he's my older son. He's 20. He's ready to go
now.
Joseph,
take Joseph out of school. I'm sorry.
Right, and so that's the issue, and you know, but you never know. That's why I always look around. You never know when that day comes, and you got to be ready. And yeah. I will never be shocked.
No, of course not. I mean, you know.
But no, the plan is not to move to Arizona tomorrow.
All right.
Not at all.
All right, good.
But it's just funny that you walked in when I was looking at that. There was and the reason that spurred it on was there was an article in the paper today about how people are really moving away from moving to places like Florida and South Carolina, and the West is really becoming the hot spot now.
Yeah.
Because they're building more and more out and out, and it's a little more affordable and taxes and all that. So I'm like, you know what? I love Arizona. I'm going to check this out.
I can understand that.
And I was checking it out, and it is gorgeous.
And even though I'm not that much younger than you guys, especially you, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm going to be 43 in June. So what are we, 7 years apart?
Eight
years apart. So it's not crazy.
No, not at all.
But in that 8 years, a lot happens.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I mean, and you've got your older kids, and you're thinking about, you know, at some point maybe empty nesting and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's starting to become very real. Yeah.
Right. So me, I'm just like, I mean, I got the little kids and everything, and I'm here, and roots are here. And then I walk in, and all you guys, it's retirement this, and Arizona
different.
That, and Montana this, and
well, that's
401k that, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, man.
I'm working with the geriatric guys.
I'm like, this is freaking me out now.
No, I know.
Where's everybody going?
Like I said, I'm not planning on going anywhere, but you never know, and I'm always ready. But it's funny.
You're fired.
you never know. All the years, and I didn't play golf for, it was literally like 15 to 16 years, but all those years that Boomer would ask me to play, you know, I coaching here, practice here, games here. You are now entering into that time, whereas now I'm ready to go anytime he wants to play.
Sure.
Let's go, because my kids are kind of past that now. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm hoping that there's not going to be some sort of crazy travel schedule that my girls get into, but they probably will,
because
everybody else has it going on. But yeah, I mean, but it just never was like that when I was growing up, and I'm seeing this now. Like,
oh, it's different.
You know, like 3 day long volleyball tournaments in other states.
Did you hear Malusis this weekend? Malusis was home with one of his kids, or maybe two of them, I don't know. And their other son, his wife, took to a hockey tournament in Massachusetts, I think, for the weekend.
Okay.
Like, it was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday hockey tournament. How much money that costs, and how much the time invested in? I don't want to say push. That's not. I wanted to play hockey growing up. It was the one thing that my parents, it was like, you're already playing football, basketball, and baseball. Like, we can't do it all. So I ultimately didn't play, but I always wanted to. So when my kids were like 3, 4, 5, I put them to learn to skate. We went to the ice rink, and I wanted them to play hockey. They ultimately wound up with basketball and baseball instead. And now I think back, I'm like, thank God.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is, I thought the travel baseball was nuts. The travel hockey is insane.
Yeah, I've heard horror stories. So in that situation, I mean, Malusa's got to get one of those kids to the NHL. Because if not, it's or a scholarship to a team that's like in the Frozen Four.
Yeah, well, it's not that easy.
It's not that easy to be going to all these tournaments, too. So if I'm sacrificing your ass, better be in the NHL.
Well, it's a sacrifice. It's fun, man.
I know. I'm being facetious.
When did this become the norm, all this?
I would say, so it's a great question. So hockey, I think it's been the norm for a very long time. I really do. Baseball, it's gotten crazy in the last, I would say the last 7-8 years, where it's really taken off. Soccer, I think, has always been like this. Hockey's always been like this. And basketball, I don't really know the travel.
Lacrosse game. Is a huge
lacrosse
thing,
too. But was never big in Jersey until, yeah, like, recently.
Yeah.
It's a Long Island thing.
But what is it? But people feel the need to comply with this? Is it peer pressure? What is it?
It's fun.
Well,
it really is.
Sounds fun.
You don't have kids. I'm telling you, it's a blast. It really, when you go away with a group of people, if you have a group of people that you actually get along with, and the kids get along and the team's good, and you go to places like South Carolina like we did for a week-long baseball tournament, it's a blast, like a vacation. It really is. And I know you guys don't get it. You don't have kids. That's fine. But it's fun. And I already miss it, the fact that it's over.
I do think there are some parents, though, where their kid, they know their kid isn't the best or even close to the best on the team, but they feel like they still have to go through that whole process.
Well, maybe.
You know what I'm saying?
And there are social aspects for some people where their kid maybe not, it probably not be the best thing for them. I can't speak for those people. I only speak for myself.
Right.
I had a blast doing it. I really did. And I wish I did it with my older son, but that's where you say, when did it become the norm? I feel like he just kind of missed it.
Yeah.
And then we were full throttle with my younger son.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD. Pod 1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.